Good morning, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Keep it 10 in the morning now. Steve McIntosh, Gordon Basham at 6:30 on a Friday morning, 19 degrees. Congress has passed another short-term spending bill to keep the government open.
There won't be a partial government shutdown thanks to Congress putting off the fight over President Trump's border wall for 2 weeks. House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi, who's trying to win over enough support to be the next speaker, is taking a hard line.
The president said he promised it. He also promised Mexico would pay for it. So even if they did, it's immoral still, and then they're not going to pay for it.
Alabama Republican Senator Richard Shelby is the chairman of the Appropriations Committee and says they're making progress on most of the remaining funding issues.
We'd look at anything, but I believe the best route is to keep all seven together, pass them.
By passing a 2-week funding extension, that means this fight will come up again right before Christmas. On Capitol Hill, Mike Emanuel, Fox News.
Kansas will boost its annual spending on foster care by $35 million under the state's Department for Children and Families grants that have been awarded to five contractors. DCF Secretary Gina Meyer-Hummel held a news conference Thursday to introduce the contractors and discuss how she believes the grants will improve services for abused and neglected children. The state expects to spend $245 million on foster care during the next fiscal year.
Some new billboards going up in Wichita, part of a push to fully legalize marijuana in Kansas. Two billboard campaigns were launched Wednesday by the pro-legalization group Fire It Up Kansas. The first is an image of one man drinking and another smoking. KSN News spoke with Mike Golden of Fire It Up Kansas.
If it's perfectly okay to drink yourself to death with whatever kind of alcohol you choose, then why isn't it okay to smoke a joint?
The second image is a person with their hands handcuffed behind their back. And it states, we're not criminals, we're consumers. Golden says the group also sent a bill on legalizing marijuana to state lawmakers for their consideration.
Fake service dogs are becoming a problem, and it's hurting those who really need them.
Service dog trainer Kim Kittelek says that many people want to label their dogs as service animals simply so they can take them into stores and restaurants. Because this has been a growing problem, people have become skeptical of real service dogs in stores, and some will actually ask the owner what the dog does for them to see if they're actually real service animals, or even question the illness the owner has that causes him to rely on a service animal. These questions can be very rude. Kansas law states that if you have a service dog, you need an ID card to show both the dog and handler and information on who trained the dog. But that trainer could be literally anyone, and nobody can check the information due to the Americans with Disabilities Act. Kittelek added that when you take your untrained dog in somewhere and you represent it as a service dog, you make it more difficult on the people that legitimately need their dog. Amy Webb, KNSS News.
As the Trump administration works on criminal justice reform, a new study breaks down the numbers of an incarceration crisis.
After reading the report, some may think that incarceration is a family tradition. A recent criminal justice study by Cornell University and FWD.US finds that nearly half of all U.S. adults, 113 million of us, have had an immediate family member in jail at some point in their lives. And an estimated 64% of American adults have had a family member spend at least one night at the Gray Bar Hotel. Southern and Western states have the highest rates. Latinos more likely than blacks or whites, higher income earners are less likely to end up in jail, and 54% of jailed parents were the family breadwinner. There are currently more than 2 million Americans in prison. Kevin Battle, Fox News.
Something new for hungry students on one college campus.
Bacon, bacon, bacon! I love bacon, I love bacon.
Strips, bacon bits, all in a vending machine for just a buck. The better to study for finals with. The Ohio Pork Council placing the bacon vending machine in the College of Food, Agriculture, and Environmental Sciences. Profits going to the meat science program, courtesy of Hormel, Sugardale, and Smithfield. No turkey bacon need apply. The Ohio Pork Council says the bacon vending machine is a unique and fun way for the Ohio Pork Council to support Ohio State students and promote the pork industry at the same time. Therese Crowley, Fox News.
Now the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. A chilly start to the day for us. We become partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high 35, cloudy overnight in 23, and then mostly cloudy. Fairly quiet weather expected for us tomorrow. Saturday's high 35, sunny and low 40s on Sunday. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now partly cloudy, 19 degrees, a northeast wind at 6 miles per hour. Yesterday this time, I think the temperature was, what, about 38? This morning it's 19.
Yeah, really, no kidding.
Yikes. It's a tough way to learn the civics lesson that every vote counts. a first-time political candidate for alderman in Hoxie, Arkansas, ended up missing his chance to vote Tuesday, and his race for a city council seat ended up in a tie. He didn't vote in the owner. The Jonesboro Sun reports Cliff Farmer and his wife were returning from a Florida vacation Tuesday when their plane landed in Memphis only an hour before polls closed. Memphis is 80 miles away from Hoxie. His wife voted early, but Farmer had counted on casting his ballot once he got back. Both Farmer and incumbent Becky Linebaugh ended up with 223 votes. A winner will be declared next week by a coin toss. Wow.
Oh, there's your civics.
I'm a voter. I'm a voter in Hoxie, Arkansas. I say, if the guy can't even figure out how to vote, I'm not sure we want him.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, that may be judgmental. I'll bet you are a lot of people out there who are not familiar with feng shui.
I was just thinking about that this morning. I kid you not.
Okay.
I was thinking about that this morning.
I don't believe you, but a Maine restaurant owner is citing the principle of feng shui as a reason to keep a pair of boulders where they are, right in front of her eatery. Annie Huang is co-owner of Lucky Garden in Hollowell, Maine. She has told members of the city's highway committee the boulders are culturally significant in that they are placed according to feng shui, the belief that spatial arrangements can affect the flow of energy. City officials want the boulders moved so they can rebuild a downtown sidewalk. Some local and state officials have agreed to cut the project short. So what were you thinking about feng shui today?
I don't know, Steve. Literally, I was taking a shower this morning, and feng shui popped into my brain, which is a bit of an odd thing. I have a brain.
Maybe you're psychic or something.
It could be, but I looked it up just to make sure I had my ideas right. And it's a Chinese, also known as Chinese geomancy. It's a pseudoscience that says energy forces harmonize individuals with their surroundings.
There you go. And, you know, and I worked at a place a while back, and I think it was the place, maybe I worked with Jackie Wise years ago, and they got into this feng shui.
Yeah.
And they were going around the studio saying, how could we make this better in here, an improvement? How can we make it so people could, you know, what do you have to spiritually, more energy and so forth? What could we do?
Yeah.
What could we change? So they fired me.
Well, I can tell you that as a police officer, I visited quite a few crime scenes that really had some messed up feng shui.
Feng shui was pretty
bad. It was on the other side of the moon.
Whatever. Feng shui. I'll bet you, if I had to bet.
It's so strange that I was thinking about that.
Yeah, I would say that Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities knows a lot about feng shui. Let's find out. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Steve. Well, after good gains in our cattle complex back on Wednesday, the cattle complex closed negative yesterday with the largest losses occurring in the feeder cattle. There was no fresh news yesterday to go along with the negative trading in our livestock futures. Overall, all the commodity sector futures traded and closed negative. The weekly steer carcass weights at 902 pounds, 2 pounds heavier than the previous week, 2 pounds lower than a year ago. Lean hog futures, like the cattle, were higher on Wednesday and closed negative yesterday. On the close, fed cattle, 57 cents lower at 121.80. Canned feeders down $1.27 at 144.20. And fed lean hogs, 85 lower at 66.90. The wheat, corn, and soybean futures all closed negative Thursday. Stats Canada slightly increased their all wheat production yesterday and lowered their canola crop. The grain and soybeans did close negative, but did come well off the session lows. At the moment, March KC wheat's 5.5 cents higher at 501. March corn, 0.75 cents higher at 383.5, with Jan soybeans down 0.75 cents at 908.75. January crude oil, 34 cents higher at 51.83. Feb gold, $2.60 higher at 1,246.20. December S&P down 15 points at 26.76. December dollar index, a nickel higher at 96.81. And December Dow Jones futures trading 126 points lower at 24,782. For commodity trading or ag marketing advisory, contact Leffler Commodities on the phone or on the web by using 866-GO-TO-TOM.
So, Tom, you don't know anything about feng shui then, huh?
I don't think so. I know I can't spell it.
Well, I would say, you know, if you're in a chicken coop and there are too many chickens, you know, change the feng shui, maybe. What would you put in there? A lava lamp, Gordon? I don't know.
A lava lamp would really work. Hard-boiled eggs, right?
And we just had a story on a moment ago about a bacon vending machine at Ohio State. Was it Ohio State on the campus there? Where are you on bacon vending machines, Tom? That sounds like something you ought to have over there in Augusta.
You know, I just saw that on TV a little while ago here this morning, and I tell you what, if it has anything to do with bacon, I'm all for it.
Really? Okay. How about, beef jerky or something like that in a vending machine?
I think that would go over fantastic, too.
Okay, well, maybe we should get into the marketing aspect of this and make ourselves rich.
I'm sure the people of PETA would take exception, though.
That's a very good point.
They take exception of it with everything.
Yeah, well, this is very true, yes.
All right, so you were saying, what were you saying, the canola oil went down, or what was that you were saying a while ago there, Tom?
Well, that was the crops up in Canada. Stats Canada yesterday lowered their production this year of their canola crop. It didn't come in quite as large as they thought.
What is canola?
Canola is a oil seed. It's like a soybean.
Oh, okay.
They extract the oil from it. They extract meal from it.
Okay, very good.
We see some canola here in the United States. Canada raised quite a little bit.
So when you say, take the gun, leave the canola, that's what it means?
Kind of, Steve.
Have you ever seen The Godfather, by the way?
You know, you're about the third person in radio that has asked me that question, and I have never seen the movie, and they can't believe it.
Well, you could learn a lot from that.
I thought canola was an Italian dessert.
I'm going to rent the DVD.
Okay, no. We'll buy it and send it to you, okay?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, okay. What format do you want? Videotape? You want
VHS.
I got to watch VHS.
All right, guys. That's enough. All right. 6:43. Thank you, guys. 6:43 now, Steve and Ted. Let's see. What we got coming up next? Oh, Don Grant, CFE, the money tracker, says Medicare or Medicare Advantage. He's coming up, Steve and Ted, KNSS.